This is the October edition of Click Magazine, Science and Exploration for Young Kids. I'm Chris Radio Volunteer Ron Pariser. The front cover of the magazine features a lemur and is titled The Eyes Have It. The first article, Click and the Kids, Story and Art by Betsy Page Brown, featuring Amy, Martin, Click, Liz the sitter, and eye protection. What's the matter, Martin? A bug flew in my eye. It zoomed in so fast I didn't have time to think. Now, Martin, you'll be all right. No need to cry. I'm not crying, Amy. My eyes are just wet. I'll get my doctor's kit. We'll have that bug out in a jiffy. There must be something here to help. Let's see. Suction cup? Stethoscope, Band-Aids? Wait, Amy, I don't feel the bug anymore. My tears must have washed it out. Click says, just let your tears do the job. That's the safe way. That was a close call. Hey, I know how to keep bugs out of your eyes. Goggles! Those big things? We wore those to protect our eyes when we were skiing. What about these? Those are for the pool, to see underwater and keep the chlorine from stinging. And these are the ones we use when we're making stuff in the workshop. Why are you wearing those? We're protecting our eyes, but it's sort of hard to see. Your eyes have lots of ways to protect themselves. We know, my tears washed a bug out. Your eyelashes help keep dust and dirt from getting in your eyes, too. And they're good for butterfly kisses. When you're playing outside, your eyebrows help keep sweat from dripping into your eyes. That's good to know, said Click. Your eyes need protection from the sun, too. That's it. We could wear our sunglasses. Yeah, and then we wouldn't look so silly. No bug can get past these. Protecting your eyes can be very glamorous. Click says, guess who? Page 7. Look into my eyes. Art by Mark Hicks. Look into a mirror and gently pull your top eyelid up and your bottom eyelid down. Do you see how the edges of your eyes curve back into your head? Your eye is round like a ball. Like a ball, your eyes can roll a bit, moving up, down and sideways to see in different directions. But no bouncing. Your eyeballs are tucked safely inside your skull, each protected in its own bony nest called a socket. In the photograph, put your hands over your eyes and you'll feel hard bone, not your eye. You blink your eyelids closed and open again 10 to 20 times a minute. With each blink, the eyelid sweeps away dust and dirt, and it spreads tears that keep your eyeball moist and comfortable. The hairs of your eyelashes act like a screen to keep dirt and germs out of your eye. You don't blink when you sleep, so all the gunk in your eye builds up instead of getting brushed away by your eyelid. That's why you often wake up with soft or crusty bits called sleep dust or sleep sand in your eye. There's an illustration of the eye. Labels include eyelash, eyelid, pupil. The black circle in the middle of your eye is really a hole called the pupil. It lets light into your eye. Sclera. The white part of your eye is called the sclera. The colored ring around your pupil is called the iris. Its muscles control the size of your pupil. In bright light, it closes up the pupil to just a small dot. In the dark, it opens your pupil wide to let in as much light as possible. No light, no sight. The cornea is the clear, bowl-shaped layer that covers and protects your eyeball. It helps aim the light entering your eye. A lens behind the pupil focuses the light entering your eye onto your retina. Your eye stays round because it's filled with a clear jelly called vitreous humor. The vitreous humor says, "Did you hear the one about?" "That's so cornea," says the eye. The layer that lines the inside of your eyeball is called the retina. Light that enters your eye makes an upside-down picture on your retina. The retina sends messages about the picture to your brain, and your brain figures out what you're seeing. There is an illustration showing an ice cream cone being sent to the retina by light, and then to the brain, which is thinking, "Yum." Page 10. Both your eyes face front. That helps you judge how far away things are. There's a photograph of a horse. Most plant-eating animals have eyes on the sides of their heads. They can see all around, not just to the front. That can help them spot an enemy sneaking up from behind. To see how your two eyes work together, hold your arms down at your sides with the first fingers pointed. Close one eye. Keeping your eye closed, bring your arms forward and try to touch your fingertips together. Not so easy. Now, try it with both eyes open. Easy peasy. Page 11. Animal Eyes by Melissa Stewart. Like you, most animals have eyes, but how and what they see can be very different. Each animal has the kind of eyes it needs for the way of life it leads. An extra eyelid. A red-eyed tree frog has three eyelids. The inner extra eyelid is called a haw. You can see it closing in the photo above. A frog can see through its haw while it is resting. A woodpecker drills holes in dead trees and eats the insects inside. The bird's haws protect its eyes from flying bits of wood. Tricky eyes. Think this caterpillar has giant eyes, as shown in the photograph? Think again. A spice bush swallowtail caterpillar's real eyes are tiny and near its mouth, but its fierce, false eyes make it look like a snake and might scare away enemies. In the next photograph, this fish is called a four-eyed fish, but it really has only two eyes. The top half of each eye sees above the water. The bottom half watches what is happening in the water. In the next photograph, a chameleon can move its eyes two ways at once. One eye looks up while the other looks down. One can look left while the other looks right. That makes it easier for this lizard to find food and stay safe. Lots of eyes. A bee has five eyes. The three small eyes on the top of its head can tell if it's light or dark. The two large eyes can see objects. Click says, "I can see fine with just two eyes." In the next photograph, most spiders have eight eyes but cannot see well. They use tiny hairs on their bodies and legs to taste, smell, hear, and feel the world. They make webs to catch their food, but jumping spiders like this one hunt to find food and have amazing vision. In the next photograph, some scallops have more than 100 small blue eyes. Scientists think they can see shapes and movements. Nighttime eyes. In the first photograph, a tarsier hunts for insects and lizards all night long. Its big eyes let in lots of light so it can see in the dark. Why do a cat's eyes seem to glow in the dark? Because they have a material that reflects light back out into the world. The extra light helps cats see better at night, as shown in this photograph. "Yikes! I hope that cat doesn't see me," said Click. During the day, it's hard to see the black pupil at the center of a crocodile's eye. It is a small, thin line. At night, the pupil changes shape. It becomes large and round to let in more light. The next article is on page 15 and titled, "Oliver Gets Glasses." by Sharnan Simon, art by Sylvie Kantorovitz. When Oliver saw cows instead of horses in Grandpa's field, Mom took him to the eye doctor. "I don't like this," Oliver whispered in the waiting room. "Will it hurt?" "Nope," said Mom. "I've been coming for years, and I've never been hurt yet." Oliver felt better when he met Dr. Walker. Dr. Walker had red glasses and a bow tie. He helped Oliver climb into the chair in his examining room. He listened while Oliver told him about the cows and horses. "Your eyes work like a camera," Dr. Walker said. "When your eyes are open and there's enough light, your eyes take pictures of what you're looking at. They send these pictures to your brain, and your brain tells you what you're seeing. Let's find out why some of your pictures are blurry." Dr. Walker shined a little flashlight in Oliver's right eye, then his left eye. "Looks clear," he said. Next, he asked Oliver to cover his right eye and look at a chart on the wall. Oliver liked the chart. It had rows of little pictures, an apple, a house, a circle, and a square. And when Dr. Walker pointed, Oliver told him the littlest row he could see. Then he covered his left eye and did it all again. "Very good," Dr. Walker said. Next, he gave Oliver a pair of funny sunglasses to wear and a book of animal pictures to look at. "Can you tell me if any of the animals look closer than the others, like they're floating?" he asked. "The dog," said Oliver. He turned the page. "The cow, the horse." "Excellent," said Dr. Walker. "Now I know a lot about your eyes. I know they look healthy from the outside. I know how far away you can see things clearly, and I know how well your eyes tell you which things are nearer and which are farther away. Now I'd like to put some drops in your eyes to help me look inside them even better. Is that all right?" Oliver hesitated. "Will it hurt?" Dr. Walker shook his head. "It might sting just a tiny, tiny bit, but only for a second." He handed Oliver a tissue and then quickly put a drop in each eye. "Now we have to wait until the drops make your eyes relax," Dr. Walker said. "Here, I want to show you something." He opened a cupboard and took out a huge plastic eyeball. "Gross," said Oliver. "Can I hold it?" "Sure." Dr. Walker handed the eyeball to Oliver. "The colored part of your eye is the iris, and the little black dot in the middle is the pupil. The pupil is really just a hole to let light into your eye. The iris is the muscle that opens and closes the pupil. When it's dark out, the iris opens the pupil to let in more light. When it's bright out, the iris closes up the pupil to protect your eye from too much light." "That's cool," said Oliver. There is an illustration showing the various parts of the eye, including the cornea, pupil, lens, iris, retina, and blood vessels. Dr. Walker nodded. "This clear thing is the cornea. It covers your pupil. It works with the lens to focus the light coming into your eye. The light makes a picture of what you're looking at on the back wall of your eye. That's where the retina is. When the retina sends a message to your brain tells you what you're seeing." After a few minutes, Dr. Walker put away the eyeball. "And now, the drops have made your pupils open wide, so I can look inside your eyes to make sure they're healthy. I can also measure what kind of glasses you'll need." He shined a light into Oliver's eyes and looked carefully. He made notes on his pad of paper, and then just like that, the appointment was over. "We're all done," Dr. Walker said cheerfully. "You're a little nearsighted, Oliver. You can see nearby things just fine, but faraway things look blurry. Glasses will help the lenses in your eyes focus better. With the right glasses, you'll be perfect." Dr. Walker gave Oliver sunglasses to wear until the drops wore off. He gave Mom a prescription for Oliver's new glasses. He gave them both a reminder to come back in a year. And then Mom and Oliver went next door to pick out the coolest pair of red frames they could find. Perfect. Page 21. Yo Wants to Know by Leah and Alan Daniel. "I'm in a deep, dark cave," says Yo. "The holes in my eyes are growing bigger." "Holes in your eyes?" exclaims Jennifer. The black spots, says Yo. My pupils, check them out. They are big, says Jennifer, but wait, they're getting little really fast. Eyes need only little pupils to see when there's lots of light, says Yo. When it's darker, the holes get bigger. I hope no bugs fly in with the light, says Jennifer. Don't worry, says Yo. Mom says there's clear stuff over the holes. Hey, Yo, where's Lips? We should see what happens with his eyes. Lips calls Yo. Lips, where are you? Sit still, Lips, says Yo, and pretend you are in a deep, dark cave. Page 27. Out of Sight Afternoons by Susan Yoder Ackerman, art by Stuart Trotter. I love coming to Michelle's house. She's my favorite babysitter. First thing I do is drop my backpack and coat into a big basket near the door. Everything at Michelle's has its place. Mom's hoping I'll get in the habit of keeping my bedroom that neat. But so far, I'm not doing so well. I guess it's because I can see when my toys are scattered all over the floor. I can step over them or pick them up, but Michelle can't. Michelle's blind, but don't think that means I can get away with anything. I cannot sneak a triple chocolate dream bar anytime I want one. Haley, she says, that sounded like the cookie jar. No cookies before dinner. And once, when I managed to sneak one out, so quietly she didn't hear me, she began to wiggle her nose. I smell chocolate, Haley. Haley, I quick put it back. Sometimes I wonder if Michelle's ears and nose work better than everyone else's to make up for her eyes not seeing. But she says no, they're nothing special. They're like mine. She just puts hers to lots of use. I close my eyes and try to use just my ears and nose, but it's hard to keep my eyes shut after about a minute. I decide I'll just go ahead and use my eyes, ears, and nose together. I can't remember the first time Michelle took care of me. I was just a baby. She put little bells on my shoes so she'd hear me toddling around the house and be sure I was okay. She says there was no problem knowing when I needed my diaper changed. Her nose is never wrong. Now that I'm in first grade, I go to Michelle's house after school on the bus. The first few times, I thought maybe Michelle could see just a little bit because she opened the door before I even had a chance to ring the doorbell. But now I know she hears that noisy school bus 2 blocks away. She smiles and waits for my hug, then keeps her arms around me for a minute or two. I don't mind. It's kind of like me smiling back. Let me see how you have your hair today, she says. She runs her fingers across the tiny braids and beads I'm wearing. Beautiful, she says, but I know she likes my hair best when I wear it free and bouncy and curly, like my mom's. That's because Michelle and Mom were best friends way before something happened to Michelle's eyes. Michelle remembers how Mom looked when she was little, and so she has a pretty good idea how I look. Michelle loves to cook. She knows just where everything is, so she can always find what she needs. But one time, I forgot and kicked my shoes off in the kitchen while I was helping Michelle mix up cookie dough. She was getting an egg from the refrigerator when she stumbled over them. She almost fell down, and the egg went splat on the floor. I felt so bad I cleaned it all up myself. Cans feel pretty much alike. Try figuring out what's in one by just holding it. So she won't open soup when she wants pears, Michelle puts special magnetic labels on all the cans she brings home from the grocery store. I help her match them up sometimes, and then she puts them in the pantry. When she uses a can of olives or peaches, she takes the label off and sticks it on the refrigerator so she'll remember to buy more when she and her husband Pete go to the store. I can't read the labels, not until I learn Braille like Michelle did. Braille is a special way of reading and writing. You use your fingertips to feel tiny bumps that spell out words. The letters are different from the ones we read with our eyes. Michelle has other ways to read and write, too. She can listen to an audiobook while she's dusting the furniture, or grating carrots or relaxing on the couch. That's an easy way to read a book. Sometimes I listen with her, but if I have homework to do, she uses her headphones. Michelle has a special computer that reads as well as writes. When she gets a letter, she scans it on her computer and a voice reads it out loud. It's a funny robot voice, like the one that says what time it is when she presses the button on her watch. That kind of stuff is really cool. And then sometimes Michelle uses everyday stuff in a new way, like the little safety pins she puts on her clothes to tell her what color they are. Straight up, white. Straight across, blue. Diagonal, green. All she has to do in the morning is feel the pins to find the color of shirt she wants to wear that day. I like it best when Michelle goes into her ceramic studio. I love to watch her take clay and shape it into bowls or pots. She lets them dry out. Then she brushes brownish glaze on them and fires them in a hot oven called a kiln. She used to paint pictures on paper. Now she does the kind of art she can feel with her fingers. When Mom or Dad comes to pick me up, I hug Michelle goodbye. "See you tomorrow," she says. If that sounds funny to you, a blind person seeing, just remember the cookie jar. Reading with your fingers. People who can't see can still read. How? They use the Braille alphabet. In Braille, the little bumps stand for each letter. By touching the bumps, a person who knows Braille can read a book or a letter from a friend. Some signs you see around you every day are written using Braille letters and numbers too. The next time you ride in an elevator, look for the Braille bumps next to the numbers on the floors. On the page, the Braille alphabet is shown. Can you write your name in Braille? Click says, I can. The rest of the magazine has a few exercises you can do with your parent, teacher, or guardian. That's it for the October edition of Click, Science and Exploration for Young Kids. I'm Chris, radio volunteer Ron Pariser. So long until next time.